சொல்லுமா.
சுவாமிஜி, can we continue from where we left off yesterday? And Swamiji was going to talk more about Saguna Brahman, Saguna Brahma Dhyanam that Swamiji's been talking about, but in a practical way, kind of capsulize what Swamiji has been teaching, and then also the different sadhanas or attitudes toward the world for somebody who's gaining this vision, and especially with reference to Ishwara, Swamiji.
See, the modern psychology has come to believe or come to know that the emotional life of a person has a bearing with not only the external situation, but also an internal background, inner background of the person. So this has become a reality now. It's not just an idea. It's a reality, and we see reasons also, we see the symptoms, and there are generalized rules are there, and therefore you find they are growing body of knowledge in psychology and psychotherapy and so on. And so that tells us that anything else, the religious ideas of religions, theological ideas of religion and religious preachers always twist the psychological facts, saying this is right, this is not right, and mother is to be respected, mother is to be like this, you know, everywhere you find that kind of a thing. So after all father, after all mother, and they should be respected. It's not a question of respecting or disrespecting. Certain problems one has connected to one's own childhood. This is not showing disrespect or anything, but that what they will say. And therefore, the psychologists tend to always advise, don't consult your preachers. Your preacher, religious preacher, avoid the preacher. Avoid the preacher for the time being, or avoid the preacher in your lifetime. So, and even though I don't belong to any of those preachers, still I am a religious person. I am a sadhu. And therefore another religious person. So, what all I say also can be debunked. And I see a reality in all of them. What does Vedanta have to address these problems? Problems coming from unconscious. How are you going to address this? You can't say that Indians never had any psychological problems. They never had emotional problems. You can't say that. They are also human beings. There is a childhood, there are core issues. Everybody has to go through that. So they are not some immaculately born people and coming from them, or heaven. They had gone through childhood and they had their own issues, all joint families, etc., create more problems. And some good things are there, some things are not good. In a joint family. But the situation is a little different, but anyway, unconscious gets loaded. As a small child. You become in a joint, big extended joint family. So the child becomes one more child, that's all. There are 20 children. Uncle's children, the other uncle's children, all other uncle's children, and the grandfather, three uncles, and your own father. All of them live in the same place means what? You are nobody. No attention, nothing. So there are a lot of issues in that. And some advantages also. And because elders are there and therefore you have an empty lap, and that's an advantage. You find always an empty lap, and it's a good thing. So I find it's all the same. It's all compensated. This way you find there is advantage, and another way there is disadvantage. And so they have the problem. How did they solve those problems? That's a question. Did they solve it?
Did they?
Did they solve the problem? But problems were there. I myself have seen that. Problems are always there, whether it is a nuclear family or an extended joint family. Nuclear family problems seem to be more. In extended family, problems are all shared. So there is some advantage. But problems are there. Sometimes problems can be very severe also. And because all these uncles, they are never satisfied because they don't have independence. The old man is there. So he controls everything. And so they grow up remaining always under the shade of the old man. He holds all the properties. It's all in his name. And the children are in the same umbrella, under the same umbrella. And so they become also parents, and without any independence, they can't make independent decisions. So they would be emotionally distraught. So there are issues. They find there are a lot of issues. How did they solve the problems? Because of structure. They had a structure. We knew what to be done, what is to be done. So that became easier. The life became easier. Because everybody knew what was to be done at any given situation. No choice left. Structure, very tight structure, social structure. That gives you a certain security, a sense of security. you're not completely swept off your feet. So that had helped them survive. But still, the whole life was a kind of devotion, Ishvara, more Ishvara. Attitude towards the whole life and everything they confront, it's all Ishvara. Yot is Ishvara. And they had some verses that asking for pardon, please, Kshamasya, Padasparsham, O Bhudevi. So I am walking on you. Please forgive, pardon me. Hey Bhudevi, it's common. And so they had a certain understanding of Ishvara, even without Vedanta, but just upbringing, just growing up in that culture which breathes this knowledge. And without really studying it. And then there is the Agnihotra, the Karmas, etc. Because when they moved away, only there was a problem. So modern education came and then they created. So the Englishmen wanted them, Macaulay, who introduced this modern education in India, he wrote a letter to the Crown. He was an officer, big man in India, and he wrote, I have toured India. This is a country of proud people. They don't steal, they don't rob, they don't lie, they don't deceive. They are very proud people, and you cannot do anything to them, you can't change them. The only way we should make them feel that they are humble, they are not equal to us. And give them an English education. Then they can never come up to us in English. Like this he has written a letter. Recommending a new school system. You have to destroy their pride. And otherwise there's no hope. You can't rule this country. You know, we all, because of this Dharma and Ishvara, Dharma is Ishvara. That was in day-to-day life. These are all things to be lived. Attitude. So with this attitude, they managed their emotions. The emotions subserve Dharma rules. So normally they will, unless there is an abnormal person, normally they will pass. Whole lifetime they will live like that in awareness of Ishvara and doing something. Whatever they were doing is a kind of dedication, this and that, is a kind of yajna. And so the same thing we have to move, if there's somebody who was there who had to gain this Vedanta knowledge, then the guru became an object of transference. And guru handled that with the devotion, etc. Teaching is there. Everything is Ishvara. Whether they understood the order, I am using the word order, niyati. Whether they all understood, the teachers understood, Ishvara's is to be assimilated in the form of orders. Whether they understood, I'm not very clear. But that's how it has to be understood. There is no way of understanding. No way of reconciling also. All our emotions, if we say God is kind, God is loving and all this, it's all twisting the emotions. These sentences are destructive sentences. I feel guilty. God is all love. You should love God. And then naturally, why did he put me in this situation if he had done all this? So that's a mystery, God's mystery. You should love God. So you feel guilty that you are not loving God. Somebody is loving God. The one who tells, he is loving God. It looks as though, and he says, you should love God. As though she loves God. one fellow doesn't know the other. He makes other people also guilty. He is also guilty. And so, without assimilation of Ishvara, because you cannot assimilate Ishvara, you can never be objective without Ishvara. And even if you understand Ishvara is all-knowing, etc., I'm going to come later about all-knowing. If I understand Ishvara is all-knowing, still I will be subjective. Because I don't know what it takes to be all-knowing. Because I am not all-knowing, in detail. So when I am not all-knowing, I am not going to be objective. To be objective is to be all-knowing. Because all that is there is needs to be known to me, then only I can be objective. Therefore, my understanding of Sagunam Brahma, all-knowing Ishvara, should be very thorough to be objective, and that is in the form of order. And that order includes also my distorted perception of Ishvara. What is? Because given the background, this would be the perception. Nobody is to blame. And therefore, diseases and cures, both are Ishvara. It's within the order. And therefore, nobody can be condemned. And one cannot condemn oneself. Therefore, the nature of a person who understands the order very thoroughly, it's not easy. It has to be very thorough, very intimate. We will look into that a little later detail. And then there is a good intimate appreciation of order, then I welcome all my emotions. So I have a super therapist. A therapist as good as you validate him. Because he validates your emotion. And you have to validate that person, then only his validation becomes valid, becomes credible. And when he goes on telling, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it. Oh, last time, that was my wrong thinking. You have to say all that. So the therapist goes on excusing himself. Oh, I'm sorry. He has to tell that. Oh, I didn't mean that. Oh, I didn't see that. He's a human being. He has to say that. My super therapist, my own awareness of the super therapist, won't say that. He doesn't need to say that. He is in the form of order. My awareness is total. Understanding is total. He won't say that. He doesn't need to say that. Therefore, every emotion is valid. So I validate my own emotion because of my awareness of the presence of Ishwar in the form of order. Therefore, there is not one whiff of an emotion which is outside the order. Therefore, I am in order. Even one takes some medication, that's also within the order. Nothing outside order. No judgment. Where is the possibility of judgment of anybody? Because all are within the order, I am free from judgment. Very big it is. But that's all what it is. It's a super therapy. And one has to know. That's why it is cognitive. And therefore the definition of dhyanam is saguna brahma vishaya manasa vyapara. A mental action, and for which the author, the object of that action is saguna brahma Ishwara. Dhyanam, Ishwara Dhyanam. So we'll look into that again tomorrow.
Oh. No, Swamiji, thanks.